Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for sharing your week's experience. And I was thinking about what to share with you this evening, and I came across something in an article by I came across this article talking about these neuroscientists who teach these course this course called the Science of Happiness. And I think we all can use some happiness now. So some of you had talk about feeling very anxious, very overwhelmed, very stressed out, and it's very difficult in time like this. We keep getting hit by these news, like you get up and you open the news and you see like Italy breaks their record for for a number of deaths in the day again, and then you begin to wonder if this is our future, and very, very overwhelming with all these negative news. And also we might feel that like it is not a time for us to be happy because so many people are suffering. The healthcare workers are feeling so overwhelmed. You read about how they are writing wills, being ready to lose their life in this outbreak. But it is quite important for us to use the practice to allow joy into our heart. As much as some wishful thinking people like to believe that this is going to finish in a couple of weeks, this is probably going to go on for some time. For those of you who know about the outbreak that started in Asia, folks there have been living in this for since January. And so my family, for example, in Hong Kong, have been living in a world where people cannot go visit their loved ones in the hospital since January. They might not be sick with the coronavirus, but they can't go visit their family sick in a hospital. So it's a very heavy time. But if we just only allow this heaviness, this sadness, all this negativity to be here, then it's going to be very difficult for us to make it through the next weeks and months. So allowing joy into our heart, using the practice to allow joy into our heart is very important. And so this neuroscientist gave three suggestions. They are all very Buddhist, actually. So I guess it's interesting to see how what we've been studying and practicing actually has been found by scientists to be also very valid. So I'd like to want to share with you. The first tip that was offered by this neuroscientist who teaches this course on the science of happiness is she suggested practicing mindfulness. And so some of you may have been practicing this every day already, and but it's helpful to have this reminder to Allison. You talk about sitting meditation, and during the day you get over irritated, and perhaps the practice doesn't stop with the sitting, right? So having an additional session of meditation before bedtime would be a good idea, but also remembering to practice mindfulness throughout the day in the form of moving meditation, eating meditation, walking meditation. And they all involve allowing our mind to be in contact with our bodily sensations, like what we were doing in the meditation session just now, right? To be clearly aware of the bodily sensations moment after moment. And that in itself allow us to settle the mind when we find our mind racing because we hear some negative news, or we feeling distressed, or be feeling feeling distressed because our children is struggling, and we feel really bad that they have to be dealing with this. It's very difficult, and we notice our bodily sensation tensing up with that, with the distress. And the moment we notice the sensation, that we can also allow it to be there, and we're not adding additional suffering, additional distress to what we are already experiencing. And also, the mindfulness does not stop with a clear awareness of our bodily sensations, right? So many of you might remember, the clear awareness we cultivate is also clear awareness of what's going on around us. So allowing ourselves to connect with the sensations in our surrounding, like remembering maybe to notice the birds singing, because spring is here, and allowing the bird song to enter our heart. And the birds are still singing. When we walk out, we see the birds in all the shrubs and plants and trees. And yes, the world feels like everything seems to be falling apart, but the trees are still putting out new leaves, and the flowers still blooming, and the birds are still out there, and they are still there bringing joy to and life to this world, and allowing ourselves, our heart, to be touched by that, and also other sensations. Actually, I've been reading a lot of these articles, all the tips that people have been offering, and they all sort of like revolve around these few themes. And also allowing ourselves to connect with other sensations, such as the tactile sensations, or smell. That's why people get into cooking, right? So it's a very therapeutic thing to do. So these are very concrete things that we can add into our day's routine in this period of social distancing, right? And so all these allow us to not be as overwhelmed by the images that we are encountering in the news. I noticed, I think, like Allison, you said in the chat that you stopped watching the news. And it is a good idea for us to be mindful of what kind of news we are consuming, right? So it is important to stay informed, especially. There might be new policy, there might be new actions by the government, by local government, or maybe for us, or for some of us, by the workplace. So we do need to stay informed, but there is a line between staying informed and getting addicted to the news cycle. Okay, so watch how what we are doing there when we are looking at the news, and also choose the source wisely. Like, there are certain kind of news source that are more sensationalized, that appeals to certain emotion of our mind, and somehow we got that's like junk food. Like, it's bad for you, but you keep getting more, looking at it more. So watch that addiction. Watch that addiction, and when you find yourself in the middle of it, then you're like, oh, you know, I don't, I can, I don't need to look at another of this story. Or you can even delete the app if you see it, watching it on your phone. And so remembering to practice coming back to the body, our breathing. And that allow us to be reminded that I'm alive, I'm breathing. And Awa said, you know, Master Shen Yan taught us. I always remember that, like, we still, as long as we have this breath, there's hope. So I'm still alive, and things will may be very different, but we still hope. So the practice of this embodied mindfulness, and also cultivating this clear awareness of our environment. And not only just nature, right? But maybe also cultivating this clear awareness of people around us. Many people, they complain about having to be stuck at home. But actually, we can also see it as an opportunity that we rarely have as adults. Very like usually we get up and the children go to school and we go to work and we just come back home and sleep there and we rarely spend so much time together. And this gives us an opportunity to actually really get to know each other, to see the side of the other person that we don't get to see and appreciate when we allow ourselves to pay attention. I know some people said they're driving each other crazy, being stuck at home. And so that is when we are only allowing ourselves to focus on the part of the other people that irritate us. That is happening, but also practicing to remember to also be aware of the other aspects of their behavior, right? So maybe your children are driving you nuts, but then when they're sitting there, it's like, oh, they're just so cute, they're so amazing, they're so like they're able to just kind of be so resilient and adjust to this new schedule. So we allow ourselves to also see and appreciate these other aspects of people around us that we don't usually get to see. Or just their being able to sit there and concentrate on their homework. It's amazing. So allow ourselves to see everything that's going on, right? Cultivating this total clear awareness. And the second tip that this neuroscientist offered, a number of you had already mentioned, and we read it everywhere, which is to connect with others, right? So you probably had this similar experience that people that you haven't heard from for years suddenly email you, text you, call you, and want to see if you're okay. Especially for me living in New Jersey, people, if they watch what's on the news, they think I'm probably like dying or just whatever, something's very serious. I said, no, I'm just in my house and I live in the suburb and I really haven't seen another person for many days now. So it's my friends all thought that it's really like what they saw on the news. But it's lovely to hear from others. But specifically, the advice is when we are connecting with others, you can think about doing this is to spend time deliberately talking with others about your experience, like what you just did. Talking about your experience. Some of you talk about this was a rough day, or what I realize. For example, Beth talked about how, wow, I realize people just have this real serious fear of death. And it gives you this realization how much suffering our resistance to this fact of life creates. And so we can allow ourselves to share some insights that we are discovering through this period. Usually when in our life we just go to work, we try to entertain ourselves to death and run around, rush around, and we rarely have this opportunity to reflect and focus on thinking about what's important in our life. And so this offers a precious opportunity for us to reflect on our experience and as we connect with others to share our experience with others, it's actually the practice of allowing ourselves to recognize what it is that we are experiencing, to acknowledge what it is that we are feeling. So some of you have done this, like, I feel really anxious or I feel really irritable. So just hear yourself acknowledging that. Actually, in itself, that action itself helps that be released, to be discharged. Very different from suppressing that feeling. So many people are used to the practice of just like, I'm okay, I'm fine. This is, you know, that's what happens, or it's impermanent, and they just kind of use all those Dhamma concepts to suppress what is actually going on in us, how we are experiencing the situation. No one has been in this situation. No one. And we might feel very confused or scared that we don't know what's going on. We don't quite know what to do. And you're most definitely not alone. And sharing our experience actually is a form of generosity. Some of you talked about the struggle of trying to balance between taking care of ourselves and helping others, doing something for other people. Actually, just by sharing your experience, so that other can see, oh, I'm not the only one who feel anxious or confused or stressed out, and they feel not so alone. That in itself is a form of generosity. It is, you are helping. You're helping. And so there are many different ways to be offering ourselves. They don't take a specific form only. So we can think about how we can work with our current causes and conditions. Everybody has different causes and conditions. Maybe we have several children at home, so you have to be at home all day. And you might feel like, I should be out there trying to, you know, get food to the people who need food. It's like, your causes and conditions do not allow you to do that. So having this idea in our mind that, like, helping has to take a certain form is a form of self-centered attachment. So when we cultivate wisdom to see that we work with our causes and conditions to support and help others. So one's by connecting with others. When we're connecting with others, we actually share our experience. And one of the suggestions, actually, which I think is quite useful, is not just talk about our experience, but also try to talk about what is going well. What is going well? So you can say, oh, I was really rough, or I was really stressed out. But also remembering to talk about what is going well. So what that does is that it allows us to cultivate this total clear awareness more deliberately. It's easy for us to just like go into our habitual direction, or maybe complaining about how awful it is to be stuck at home all day, or complaining about, you know, like what's going on with the policies and things like that. That is certainly what is going on. So we're not denying that is going on. So it's not about only going to focus on the good things while we are aware of the difficulty, the struggle, the anxiety, maybe fear. We are also allowing ourselves to be aware and recognize the things that work. Like I was just talking about noticing, oh wow, and yeah, it's really stressful and very busy, and like, but yep. And then I heard my daughter practice the piano, and I was like, amazing that like she's got so good. And I can share with you today, my husband and I took a walk, and we went to visit this pond that had a lot of tadpoles. A week ago is just a bunch of eggs, and now like today the bunch of them hatched, and there's like tons and tons of these tiny tadpoles, and it's so nature working, and it's just a beautiful moment. So things that bring joy to you that works, allowing joy to enter our hearts, and watch out for this tendency to fall into guilt when we are in an epidemic outbreak and many people suffering and struggling. It's easy for us to think that, well, there's so many people having it so hard. I shouldn't feel happy. I sh like that. That would be wrong for me to feel joy and be happy. And many people do that, thinking that that somehow would help. But how would your being miserable contribute to the world? So, some of you talked about how you can be helping, and indeed, you take good care of yourself health-wise, then you will not be adding burden to the healthcare system by staying healthy, because they have enough people to look after already. And by practicing to allow joy to enter our heart, we can be the positive force, maybe in the home that we're in. And so, not only are we not suffering, not giving rise to suffering, but maybe we can help others to suffer less. On the other hand, if we do the opposite, we just dwell on the negative things and just like, oh, I shouldn't be happy now, and I should be miserable because this is how it is. And when we're miserable, we're not a very pleasant person to be with, and we add to the suffering of those around us, add to the distress of those around us. That's most certainly is not helping. So by practicing to allow joy into our hearts, we allow ourselves to be more resilient. Like I said, it's going to be weeks and probably months for this to be going on in various degree. So our remembering to practice to be here to allow joy into our heart is also a way for us to reduce suffering for ourselves, and also to bring joy to others. That's a form of generosity, compassion. So in this way, we are cultivating wisdom and compassion. Wisdom is not generating so unnecessary suffering for ourselves, and compassion is to not cause unnecessary suffering for others. When we're irritable, when we're miserable, we will be acting in ways that cause other people suffering. And the third thing that this neuroscientist suggests, some of you already mentioned, many of you mentioned, gratitude. Gratitude. And actually, that's a natural outcome of what I just talked about. When we remember to pay attention to what's around us right here, right now. So we may watch the news and it's like, oh, there is like the death number of death is like record high again, and like now we've passed like however many tens of thousands, and then so it's like everything's so awful. And then we come back here and see, wow, I'm here. I have this, I'm in this home, in this safe space, I'm healthy. Gratitude. Not when we are aware of what is actually happening happening right here, right now, in our actual reality, gratitude naturally arises. And also, when we allow ourselves to experience joy by sharing our experience, sharing what works with others, by bringing joy to others as well, we can't help but be grateful that we have these other people to share this with. We have the causes and conditions to be in this moment like we are right now. And thanks to the internet and Zoom and all that, we are able to have this opportunity to share and connect with each other. So there might be other things that we are not able to do that we had planned, but we are right here and experiencing what we are able to experience right now with the because of the causes and conditions that come together. Like Xuan mentioned how this little coronavirus encouraged us to find our way back to the practice. We've been putting it off somehow. And so gratitude, this is something that is the most definitely very terrible and tragic for a lot of people. But we can still allow our heart to be touched by joy and gratitude by cultivating this total clear awareness. And I'll encourage you to check out a talk that I have posted on my website that talk about how to cultivate total awareness and gratitude that will maybe able to help you with this practice in more detail as well. So I'd like to leave you with that and encourage you to make use of what resonates with you. Some of you may be already connecting with others. Maybe you can make sure that you share your experience. While you're sharing, make sure you remember to share what works as part of your practice of cultivating total clear awareness of all the different aspects of your experience, for example, and see how it works for you in this coming week's practice. We have absolutely no idea what's going to happen this week, but what we can do is to practice remembering to make use of the Dharma, the practice, in our life. And many of you had already shared that when we just come back, Olivia mentioned just being here, like, oh, it's like just so much joy. It's like magic. It is magic. So allow yourself to experience the magic. I sound like Disneyland, but why not? Allow yourself to allow joy to enter your heart, and that will give you more resilience, and that will also allow you to be a resource for others who need help during this difficult time. Okay.